morning, church. This morning's reading is coming from John chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. When the Lord heard this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food at McDonald's. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask for a drink from me?" For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you a drink of living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" And Jesus answered, "Anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will come in a spring of water welling up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked him, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then the disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now the harvest, and he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. And because of his words, many more believers came. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man truly is the Saviour of the world."
Thank you, Arthur. And I think that's a pretty exciting testimony, don't you? It's a 2,000-year-old testimony. And there we have it today, and it still could thrill our hearts if we really listen. When Trevor began and urged you to read Psalm 27 over and over this week, and then when Jeff shared with you and urged you to pray that prayer that you can find on the back of the Resonate magazine, so you've got something already to read over and over this week, and something to pray over and over this week. And here I'm going to add to it. You could read John chapter 4 over and over this week, and your heart would somehow be touched by God in a way that would change you. And there are just precious statements in here that as you allow the Spirit of God to speak into your heart, it will change how you see the gift of God, and it'll change how you see people, because we're reading an account here. We have an account here in front of us of the greatest alongsider ever. That's Jesus. You realize it wouldn't have been normal for the Jews to travel through Samaria. A really dinky-dye Jew would have gone around Samaria, but Jesus had to go through. Why do you think that? To meet that woman. I wonder how the disciples felt spending 2 days. We were just tracking through here, Lord. Why have we got to stay 2 days? Such is the heart of God for people like us. Such is the heart of God for people that maybe know a little bit about him. Perhaps they just know his name, but they treat his name with no respect whatsoever. Or perhaps they know nothing. And such is the heart of God for people who come with their bucket and their objections and not much more. I think this is an amazing testimony. If you would like to turn back to another testimony that's a little older, again, another 1,000 years back, you think, Michael, we're delving back in history a bit here, aren't we? Well, yes, we are. If you'd like to look at Psalm 16, because this is another testimony. This is a very personal testimony as well. And it's a precious testimony too. And this is King David. And we've been hearing a bit about, we've been looking at Psalms a little bit, and we've also been looking in Genesis a little bit. So we're looking at David, we're looking at Abraham. And if you look carefully, you'll realize these people were people on a journey. These people were on a journey of faith and growth and getting to know God. And they faced many and varied situations, and sometimes they got it right and sometimes they didn't. A bit like us. And here's a testimony. Here's a testimony that declares a lot of things, a lot of really beautiful and personal things, and things I believe that although this is 3,000 years old, this testimony, it still is relevant for us and special for us today. And so King David says, "Keep me safe, O God, for I come to you for refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you." It's personal testimony, isn't it? "The godly people in the land, they're my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land that you have given me is a pleasant land, a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." You see what a declaration that is? What a lovely testimony that is. Well, I just got to testify that during the week that these scriptures have been so much on my mind, and I've been able to share them in different situations with different folks, and able to share them with Bernie and Beck, it was a precious time. I think testimony is important, and some of these words, even the Apostle Peter quoted in that first message that was preached after Jesus' resurrection and after the Holy Spirit was poured out. And you can look in Acts chapter 2 and see the last part of David's testimony, really, about the coming Messiah and the resurrection of Jesus there in verse 10, which Peter quotes word for word pretty much, and then says, and then he also includes, you know, I will show you the way of life, granting me the joy in your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. And so these words have been, as I said, on my mind. It's an amazing privilege, isn't it? I don't know whether you allow your heart to rejoice in the amazing privilege that God has made known to you the path of life. Isn't that an amazing thing? Hallelujah. That the Holy Spirit has reached out to you and has opened your heart and your mind, has convicted you of sin, has revealed Jesus to you, and has drawn you to himself that you might know the path of life. God has done that for you. Or at least I hope he's done it for you. If you're sitting here today and you do not know that for sure, today is a day of salvation. Today is a day for you to take Jesus seriously. Today is a day like that woman who encountered Jesus, where you can move from thinking you've got what it takes, you can manage your life, you can do just fine, even though there's lots of problems and issues and struggles and things have not gone as good as what you'd hoped. In encountering Jesus and knowing he's reaching out to you, you can find the way of life that God has always had in mind for you to grasp. You can find that he will fill you with joy in his presence. Isn't that an amazing thing? To be filled with real joy because God is with you. And instead of doing life as best you can and managing with the knowledge and the resources that you have, you can rely on him to fill you with joy in his presence. Now we're like, oh, I'd love to be filled with joy, but it's joy in his presence. It's joy in a relationship with God. What a great testimony. What great words to have shared, that David has shared out of the journey of walking with God, that now we have here in his word. And the absolute sure hope that there is eternity in store for people who know what it's like to put their trust in him. There's an eternal dimension to this life. It's not just here and now. Well, here's a testimony for us to perhaps read over a few times. So you've got a bit of reading to do this week, a bit of time to spend in the Word, a bit of time to allow God to impress some truth upon your heart that is better than anything that you will ever come up with, better than anything that Hollywood will attempt to amuse you with this week, better than any video game. Had the opportunity to have a conversation with a fellow on Friday night about gaming, and it was just going whoosh straight over the top of her head. Don't know a thing about it, but I tried to nod and look sort of intelligent. Have you heard about such and such? Yes, I think I have heard something about that. What I thought I understood was probably different to what he was explaining to me. And there is no criticism for people that get into gaming or people that love to watch a movie. But let me tell you, it's easy to waste your life. It's easy to waste your mind on pointless things. And here's truth that will establish you in the place that God has always had in mind for you. When he has made known to you the path of life. And we can so easily get drawn off into pointlessness, where we waste our minds and waste our time and can waste our lives. You could go through this testimony and you could underline so much. God, you're my protector. That's so good. Thank you for that. God, out of all the good things that I might set my heart upon, you are immeasurably good. You are my Lord. Apart from you, I really have no good thing. I said last week, I said, blokes, men, fathers, you need a few good men around you. You need some blokes that will have your back. You need some blokes that will speak some truth into your life. You need some blokes that will pray for you. You need some blokes that will be a good example to you. Same for you, women. As for the saints who are in the land, they're the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. You need a few good men around you. You need a few good women around you, ladies. You need some saints. People that follow Jesus. People that can cheer you on. People that truly are heroes. And I've often said, as we said goodbye to Mavis and as we said goodbye to Lindsay some years ago in the middle of COVID, I would consider those people amongst some of the privileged people I've had to walk with and had as a brother and sister in my life. And they're glorious ones, faithful ones, people that spur you on. And it's a privilege that you need to take hold of. Gather some people like that around you. Connect yourself and be encouraged in your walk with God. Yes, there's a clear observation that those who don't follow after the Lord, those that put other things in God's place, their lives are trashed. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not involve myself in anything that they give themselves to, the horrors of what they give themselves to. I will not speak the names of their gods on my lips. And then a testimony, and I remember writing Lynn a letter. This is when you used to write letters. I think we've still got a nice bundle of them wrapped up in a ribbon in a top drawer. I think I wrote this verse in a letter just a little bit before Lynn and I got married. Oh Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. As a young man, 20 years old, I've got to be the most blessed bloke around, I reckon. This girl has said yes. She's bought the dress. We've set the date. And we can testify. you can testify, Lord, you have assigned my portion. I can trust what you've set out for me. It's better than what I would set out for me. Sometimes we might be tempted to think, oh God, if you'd only give me a little bit more foreknowledge on what your plans are. Lord, give me the blueprint so I can check it out and see if I'll go along with it. You know, if God gave you the blueprint, you would not. It would be too much for you. But God leads us into life. He assigns us our portion and our cup, and he makes our lot secure, and we can trust him. This is a testimony. And yes, the boundary lines do fall in some good places. It's tough at times. But God has got good things for his people. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And yes, I do. And it's more than our address in Cahoon Road. As nice as what that is. And the testimony goes on, I praise the Lord. I can't help but say thank you, Lord, that you would counsel me. Well, David knew something of the work of the Spirit in his life, but we, as God's people now, the Spirit has been poured out, not just on a prophet or a king or a priest or people, select people of old, but God pours out his Spirit on all flesh, on sons and daughters. And so we have this wonderful counselor that Jesus said that he would send. And so we can say amen to this. I praise the Lord who counsels me. How often do you seek the Lord's counsel? It's there. And I love this phrase, even at night my heart instructs me. Do you know how many times I've prayed on a Saturday night? Lynn knows. Lord, please counsel me tonight. Please instruct my heart tonight because, Lord, I got some stuff scribbled on some pieces of paper, but Lord, would you make some sense of this? Would you draw it into some level of order and understandability? And you might say, Michael, you should pray more about that. But I love the fact you don't have to be having to preach the next day to pray a prayer like that. You can say to the Lord, please tonight, could my heart be instructed by you? You see, this is the Jesus, I will never leave you or forsake you. Promise. You don't have to wait for special occasions. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. This is the I will be with you always. Faithful God. This is for Beck and for Joel as they go to Africa into a completely new situation. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. Beck will not be shaken. Joel will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon your Holy One, or you will not abandon me to grave, nor will you let your Holy One or your Faithful One, if you look at your footnotes, see decay. Yesterday morning when Beck Asman sent me a message to say that the love of his life, Bernie Asman, when he sent me a message saying that Beck had gone to be with the Lord, as he'd sat at her bedside for many days, just being there and not knowing how conscious she was of his presence. And many of us have sat with parents and loved ones in those very situations. But Bernie was able to do that with confidence because he knew Beck knew her Saviour. And in the message that he sent to me, it was just filled with confidence because of this truth. And these very words point to the Messiah, point to Jesus, who said, I have authority to lay my life down and I have authority to take it up again. And he did. And verse 11, I don't know whether this will stick in your head and in your heart this week, but you can say, Lord, thank you that you have made known to me the path of life. Thank you, Lord, that you fill me with joy in your presence. I wonder, do you take the time to enjoy his presence? Or I wonder, are the distractions just coming thick and fast? I wonder, is it, well, life is just busy, 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 busy. And there's not much joy because there is not much time given to enjoy his presence. You know, it'd be an awful thing if I said, oh, it's great, Lynn and I have been married for nearly 43 years, and yes, she's been a very faithful wife, and but rarely do I enjoy her presence. Rarely do I take the time just to be together, and I'm always busy because I'm a busy person. And you would have every right to say, Michael, don't be an idiot. Take some time. Give attention to this faithful wife that God has given you. And yet we can miss out. As a husband, what a fool I would be if I missed out on the privilege of companionship and knowing. But with the Father who provides you salvation, with the Spirit who has made known to you the path of life, who says he would give you joy in his presence, do we take the time to enjoy him? Well, let me flick back to this other testimony. Arthur said, because of the length of the Bible reading, that it's going to be a long time till lunch. That was Arthur's threat, not mine. So, and just a couple of verses from this testimony. Because I want you to go away from today, and I wonder whether you'd go away thinking, wow, I've got so much. God has been so good to me. He's been so generous to me. He's not treated me as my sins deserved. He's given me his salvation. He's made known to me the path of life, and I get to live my life in his presence, and he doesn't leave me or forsake me. He has been so good to me. And I wonder whether you might, in a sense, as Jeff has shared with us about this heart to be a peacemaker, and even dare we venture into being a risk taker. Going into situations where we don't feel entirely comfortable and maybe even a little bit unsure about how we'll go. And you might say, well, Michael, we pay you for that so that we don't have to do that. No, no, you don't. You got that wrong. I don't know who sent you that email. It wasn't us. And here Jesus takes his disciples. He had to go through Samaria, uncomfortable space, very uncomfortable. You just got through there. You didn't hang around. Because you know what those Samaritans are like. Well, there's an occasional good one, but, you know. And so Jesus, he's tired. And he sits down at this well in the middle of the day, hot day, probably, guess. And the disciples have gone off to get food from somewhere, all right? So just may not have been Macca's. So it's just Arthur's dry sense of humour there, just sneaking in. But you were listening. I'm glad you were listening. You knew that wasn't there, didn't you? Either there or Arthur's got a translation of the Bible. It's not really a good translation. So. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, lovely question, will you give me a drink? Well, that blew this lady away. That was just, you just didn't do that. a Jewish man did not ask a Samaritan woman to feed him, give him anything to drink, do anything like that. And this woman, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, how can you ask me for a drink? It was just not done. And Jesus gets to the point. And this is where I think it comes back to this lovely statement in Psalm 16, verse 11. So much is on offer. Jesus answered it, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, if only you knew what's right there in front of you, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Boy, this was a different day to go and get water for your daily needs, wasn't it, for this lady? She encounters Jesus, the great alongsider, if I can use that phrase, the one who deliberately goes. You know what? Jesus is not standing over this woman talking down to her. Jesus is sitting down. That's what the Bible says. There is Jesus seated. And he speaks with tenderness and kindness and love to this broken lady. And he offers a life. He offers her the path of life. He offers her the Spirit of God. If only you knew. And I wonder whether you can look at people as you rub shoulders with them, and I wonder whether you can let your heart have those very same words come and say, if only you knew about Jesus. If only you knew it wasn't up to you to be as good as you can and try and sort yourself out and be a better person. If only you knew that God loves you right now. If only you knew that he has died to save you. If only you knew that he lavishes his grace on people like you and me. And all you got to do is ask. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And so, you know, the argument, the to and fro sort of goes on, and that's what we do. We sort of play these silly games. We try to think, yeah, but what I've got is kind of enough, you know. This is what I know. I'll stick with what I know. I've got the bucket. You haven't got a bucket, you know. And then Jesus says, you know, everyone who drinks from this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give will become in him like a spring of water welling up into eternal life. I think the lights were just sort of starting to come on. I wonder whether John went back to Samaria. John would have been there. He would have seen this interactional part thereof. I wonder, did John go back to Samaria and check out this lady's testimony a bit later? Don't know, just speculating there a bit. And Jesus says, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty. I won't have to keep coming here to draw water. She wasn't really getting it. And then Jesus really gets to the heart of her brokenness and says, go and call your husband and come back. You know, I love the fact that Jesus reaches out to people in their brokenness. Jesus reaches out to people in their thinking I'm doing okayness. Jesus reaches out to people who are relying on their own understanding. This lady was. And there comes a point of realization. That we need more than we can come up with ourselves. We need to be forgiven. We need to be directed down the path of life. We need him to make that known to us. And I reckon it'll be an amazing moment there in verse 20 when Jesus declares to her, as she'd already talked a bit about the coming Messiah. And Jesus just says to her, "I who speak to you am he." What a moment. Well, you know, this lady's testimony obviously had an impact in her town. They didn't have reality TV, so you couldn't sit at home and watch some sort of sordid nonsense. But when she went back and tells the people in her town, "Come and meet the man who told me everything about myself," I thought, well, this is going to be a good story. Well, probably not such a good story. We know little bits of it. What we know is not that great. But you know, the reality of her testimony. "Come and meet the man who told me. I think he's the Christ." It says in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. But there were many that believed in him because they stayed and they listened and they heard him too. Can I say to you, brothers and sisters, do not downplay the value of you telling your story of how you encountered Jesus. Do not downplay the place that you are in now in your walk with God, because your testimony is not just about how you came to know him, but your testimony is about how you have the privilege now of walking with him. There is so much that you've got to share. I'd say do it with gentleness and respect. Do it with prayer and with love. Do it with, in a sense, a seated posture. So you're not talking down at people. And be a follower of the great alongsider, who deliberately puts himself in places so he can encounter people who need to know him. And I would encourage you as a church to realize just how much you've got. Because if you've got salvation, you've got a lot. If only you knew the gift of God. Well, most of us do. Most of us know this gift of God. Most of us have had made known, and the Lord is still making known to us, the path of life. Be generous with what you've been given. And have an eye for people who God puts you near. And trust him. Don't wait for ideal circumstances. Trust him. Pray. Ask him. Pray that prayer. And see what God does. I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for these two testimonies. This lady, Lord, that you deliberately put yourself in that place at just the right time to engage her. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for King David, who, Lord, although you declared that he was a man after your own heart, Lord, struggled and faced challenges and difficulties that make some of ours pale into insignificance. And yet, Lord, he could trust you and say that you are his refuge. You are the guarder, the protector, the guider, the sustainer, the provider. And you are the one that makes known to him the path of life. And that in your presence there is fullness of joy. Oh, the joy that this woman had known to be forgiven, to know that it wasn't a vague idea about the Messiah, but she'd encountered Jesus. Lord. Help us to see people like that. Help us to play our part in the great things that you're doing to see people yet coming to know you, coming to trust you, coming to know that they can belong to you. Oh God, thank you that you're the one that opens up eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ for anyone who would say absolutely yes to you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.